Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
My 15 favorite travel destinations I would go back to tomorrow in a heartbeat so far. Now, if you gave me a ticket right now, these top 15 places in order would be the places that I'd be the most happiest to go back to. Not everything is in here. For example, Machu Picchu, Tana Volcano, Cappadocia. These are not in there because I've seen them. They're absolutely amazing, but I don't need to go back. So this list is very specific and personal to me. There are some islands in here, some countries, even though I tried to scale it down and be more specific, some mountain ranges, some beaches, some towns, some cities, and everything in between. Let's get to the list. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, an unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala or camping under the stars in British Columbia. I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places, and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips, and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, what if I just went for it and traveled? If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. Number 15 is Hornby Island. This place is my favorite place in BC and one of my favorite places in Canada. The turquoise clear water, the warm water to lay in all day. Whalen Bay Beach is unbelievable. A lovely vibe there, quite a young, hip vibe. Some great lookout points around the island, some great campsites to stay in, and overall a special, special place. Very hard to get to, but that's why it is so magical. Number 14, Antigua, Guatemala. I went here last year and visited this amazing cobble street city. Very colonial, colorful buildings. I love those. The backdrop is insane. The volcanoes at the back. I climbed Acatenango, and let me tell you, that was tough. But when I got back to Antigua, I chilled out, had loads of great coffee, walked around, done some walking tours, ate some great local food, mingled with locals and with expats and all the tourists there as well. And of course, I got to see the Santa Catalina, which is very famous. Just make sure you get there early. What a great city. One of my favorites I've been to in Latin America. And I know it's quite cliche and very popular, but there's a reason for that. And that's because it's got a great vibe. There's different types of things there to see and do, depending on what you want to see. It's a dreamy place to be based if you're doing a bit of digital nomad work or just visiting the sites. And trust me, you need to spend a week there just to enjoy it. One of my favorite places for sure. Number 13, Rio de Janeiro. I've not been to Rio in 11 years, so I'm due to go back. And when I got there, I just had this idyllic thing in my mind. I'll give you a story. When I was working in the mine sites in Australia, those long, hard 12-hour shifts, day in, day out, what I had on my earpiece was the classic Mashkinada, dancing along whilst mopping the floor in the kitchen. And it got me through those hard months to earn the money to go to Rio. And when I landed, my word, edgy, Lots of noise, dancing, great food, trendy beaches, cafes, great nightlife, the best locals, and also the Christ the Redeemer. I mean, that has got to be up there with one of the best views from a landmark, but also just epic in itself. A huge city, loads of areas to explore that I need to go back and explore. But I based myself in Copacabana Beach, classic, and then popped over to Ipanema too. I also did a favela tour in Cochina Favela. That was awesome as well. So overall, my time there was amazing. I feel like I need to go back and explore more. So if you gave me a ticket to go to Rio tomorrow, I'll be straight there. Get me a Caipirinha on the beach. Let's go. Number 12, the salt flats in Bolivia or Uyuni. My word, the largest salt flat in the world. And I went in the dry season and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I've heard about it. I've watched about it. I read about it. I knew it was going to be vast, desolate, but honestly, as far as the eye can see, it's just absolute vastness of no one there. You do your classic photos of the camera, people go further back and you come closer to the camera, do those sort of things. Some interesting ones, that's for sure. We had a great tour group for that. And I used the tour to go from northern Chile to do the salt flats into Bolivia all in one. And that tour was like 3 and 4 days. Saw the salt flats, saw some amazing sights, crossed the border in the middle of nowhere. And my word, if I can go back there in the rainy season, I like to think I've seen it in its glory in a different kind of way both times. When I think back, what a time and what a place. So unique, not like anywhere else I've been before. And normally with those ones, I don't add them in, like I said in the intro. But for this one, there's something special about it. And I see the mirror image on the photos in the rainy season. So I just have to go back. And I want to go back to Chile and Bolivia too. So why not add it in? An absolute must if I was to go back there anytime soon. Number 11 is Bagan in Myanmar. Now I went quite a long time ago before the troubles at the minute. But let me tell you, Bagan is a special area. A huge area of temples. So what you need to do is get to the town, get an e-bike or just a normal motorbike and just drive around for days. Pick any random temple, climb up the little stairs, sit on it, watch sunrise, watch sunset, and immerse yourself in that culture. The locals are absolutely fantastic and they have my full support. What a country and what a group of people. It was like a throwback traveling in Myanmar at the time. We flew from Bangkok and it's like, oh my God, no one speaks English, hardly. No signs in English. Absolutely stunning value. Easy to get around. Local vegetarian food was incredible. If you had a meat dish and took the meat away, they'd take some money off. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Some great coffee as well. Overall, Yangon and Bagan was a trip there, but Bagan was very special. We saw some amazing sunrises, amazing sunsets. I just loved the whole area. The downside of this area was that we crashed our motorbike when driving in the rain. Didn't see it coming. We're in a sandy bit of the road. And flop, squashed my leg. Emma was on the back. She went flying. No dramas, both okay. Just a bit of the bike was broken. But do you know what they said? Don't worry about it. It's an accident. Nothing to pay. It's fine. So like these people are incredible. Had an amazing time. I just need Myanmar back in my life. And I really hope in the future we can go there and they manage to sort their situation out. But all power to the people. Number 10, Cottesloe Beach in Perth in Australia. Very specific, this one. Perth could have been a city on its own. But when I think back and I think of Cottesloe, I think this is the dream place for a beach getaway. Trendy area, a huge beach. You can lay in it, swim in it. The sand is so golden and soft. Oh, and behind that is a town of trendiness. A little bit expensive, yes. Upmarket area, yes. But my word, if you can afford to spend a day here, you're going to chill on the beach, have amazing coffee, a great brunch, and a great view with some beers in the evening. Honestly, my word is absolutely up there with some of my favorite beaches and a beach area in the world. And I can't wait to go back. It has been probably 12 to 13 years. Absolutely scandalous. One day I'll go back and relive my memory there. Oh, get me back. Number 9 is Canmore in Alberta, Canada. I've said this before on this YouTube channel and on my podcast, Winging It Travel Podcast, that Canmore is also one of my favorite places in Canada. Sat back from the Rockies, 20 minutes from Banff, it is a gateway to the Rockies, to the Icefields Parkway, and further up to Jasper. You can get there for about an hour and a half from Calgary. You can drive there. And some of the reasons I prefer Canmore to Banff is when you sit at Blondie's Cafe and you have a coffee and you sit outside, the Three Sisters, the mountains in the background, are unbelievable. What a backdrop. It's not as intense into the mountains. It's set back a little bit. You get this amazing 360-degree view of the mountains and the Rockies around you in a small little town. Very chill, very laid back, and not as chaotic or busy as Banff. You can even bike between the two if you want to see two places in a day. But I like to base myself in Canmore, get one of those ski chalets. It's got a bit of a view and just chill out. And honestly, if you walk through the downtown area, the small village, you'll see what I mean. As you walk through the center, my word, what you look at is absolutely sensational. One of my favorite places in Canada. And I think the Icefall Parkway is actually the best road in the world. Those views as you drive up there, unrivaled. So not only have you got a great place in Canmore, you've got a great drive in the Icefall Parkway as well. All in all, what an area. Absolutely stunning. A must see. Number 8 is Kyoto in Japan. The traditional historic city of Japan has kind of been left a little bit untouched from the modernization of the rest of the Japanese cities. So therefore, you're going to get an indication of what traditional Japan looks like. And honestly, don't bother taking Google Maps here. Just walk amongst the random streets, in amongst the old houses, the temples, the little cafes, and just walk amongst the local people. You can get lost for days. It honestly is an absolute dream of Japanese culture to walk through. It's a dreamy city escape. You can let your imagination run wild with some of the costumes you might see people wearing or just some of the houses. I implore you to go and stay in a traditional Japanese hotel. That's a real cool experience as well. I just remember walking in awe of this place, visiting as many temples and palaces as possible. I love the decor. I just love everything about Japan anyway, but this city is a favorite of mine. And tomorrow, if I'm going to Japan as a whole, as a country, I'm going to land in Tokyo. I get it. But the first place I'm going to get to straight after that is Kyoto, straight off the bat. Get me there. A quick break before we go on to the second half. If you'd like to rate and review the podcast, that would really help winging it. You can rate 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or any podcast app that you use. Alternatively, you can support podcasts by buying me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/winginit. Links in the show notes. This really helps the podcast keep going. And just $5 will really help with the production costs. As I produced over 300 episodes so far on Winging It, it'd be nice to get a bit of help that way. And finally, the last thing is spreading the word of the podcast by word of mouth. This is the best way to spread the word of Winging It and get people to listen in and hopefully stay if they like the content. Let's get back into the episode. Number 7 is the South Island in New Zealand. I could have picked the whole country or any specifics in the country. I love the whole place. One of my favorite places as a whole in the world and definitely one of my favorite countries, but specifically South Island. If you want that dreamy road trip, lakes, mountains, green fields, lovely little cities, a big city in Christchurch, weather changing every minute, glaciers, small ski towns, Milford Sound. Oh my God, it's absolutely endless the amount of things you can see and do on the South Island. I think I've done it 3 times. Back in 2013, I took the Kiwi Experience as we drove down the South Island and I went back to live in New Zealand for a year and did some more road trips. So some of my favourite places on the South Island are Kaikoura, Dunedin, Franz Josef Glacier, Queenstown's a must, Monaco's great too, Christchurch, I think now would be awesome to visit. I've only been to it when it's been a bit more of a building site. So now they're starting to rebuild the city after the earthquakes in 2010 and 11. So I'd love to go back and visit that. An underrated spot for me on the South Island is the West Coast, further north than Greymouth. Up there, we had the most epic view on New Year's Day. It absolutely belted it down with rain for New Year's Eve. We're not sure if we're going to see anything on this campsite. Got up the next morning, a little bit hungover. And the views, my word, what a place, what a coastline. Sensational, but that's New Zealand all over. So if you get a chance, get to Nelson, a great little place to base yourself. Very sunny there. Get your hire car or your camper and just drive down and see as many places as possible. Drive through the Haast Pass. And I promise you, it'll be one of the best road trips of your life. And I think about it every day. But it's not number 1. So let's go to number 6. Don't roll your eyes at this one. Number 6 is Paris. Yes, Paris. One of my favorite cities in the world. And I'll tell you why. I'll just go there, walk the cobble streets, see the historic buildings, dip into trendy cafes for a random coffee, eat some great French food, take a book, sat on the banks of the Seine, and just watched the world go by. I love this city. I know it's controversial. I know there's plenty of other places in France. I get it. But for me, Paris is always a must. And it's always a break for me. I'm going to go there, recharge my batteries, take a book, drink some good wine. I don't drink wine that often, but in Paris I will. Get my trendy coffees in, delve into some cheese and bread, and just wander and just think about life, get the creative mode going, and really absorb being in there and wishing I was French. There you go. Paris. Always a good choice, never a bad idea. Number five, another cliche for you, is New York City. Yes, one of my favorite cities in the world. I love the buzz, the vibe, the busyness, the amount of things I go and see and do, the history. I mean, Manhattan specifically, I could walk around all day, and I do. I walk from Central Park down to Battery Park. I don't have any plan. I love just walking the random streets like Paris, checking out things, seeing new things, looking up all the time because of the skyscrapers. Honestly, when I went there, I was in awe. And I've been back since. I've been there twice and I could go back every week. I just love it. So much so, I was thinking, well, if I live in Toronto, I can go to New York quite a lot. It's just a place I want to be. Just got to soak in the atmosphere, soak in the buildings, walk, wander, and just let your imagination run wild. And for me, that's when I'm at my best. If I'm wandering, walking, thinking, and just being creative in my mind about life and about this podcast and about this episode and about this YouTube channel. Just love it. Get me there. What a place. Number four is Nova Scotia. It's a province in Canada on the east side. And when I think of a whole province in Canada, Nova Scotia has it all. Halifax is a great city and hub to check out, but I love the Cabot Trail on the eastern side at the very edge. That route around Cabot Trail, it's got small little towns and villages, great walking routes, great views, very green, and just the idyllic Canadian lifestyle. When you come back into more of the mainland, Lunenburg is an absolute dream. I can see why people record stuff there, red buildings, great lobster to eat, and great views across the water. And a great campsite. I think we stayed 5 minutes from the middle of Lunenburg. Very cheap campsite. Could walk there if you wanted to. Just love the vibe of that. Peggy's Cove is classic as well for the lighthouse. Again, I just love old lighthouses. I don't even know why, but just the vibe of them gets me going. So Nova Scotia as a whole has great cities, towns, coastal places, walks, hiking, road trips, greenery, scenery, ice cream, chips, lobster, Gaelic and Irish vibes, fiddle music. I mean, what else do you need? It's just a dream place to be based. And I keep asking myself, why am I not living there? Great question, isn't it? Yeah, Nova Scotia. Number three is my favorite city in the world so far, and that is Bangkok. I'm returning there in 2025, and I cannot wait to go back and relive the steps I did in 2013. I've been back in 2018, but we dipped in for a day. It rained, not the best time. Bangkok is known for many things, but I love the street food, the markets, the palaces, the temples, the people, the coffee, the trendy brunches now, the hostels, the riverboat, and I've still not seen that much. Oh, it's just one of those places that has everything, and for an Asian city, it's an absolute classic, I know, but honestly, don't get out of Bangkok too quickly. Spend some time there. Go to the Hangover Hotel where The Hangover is filmed. Get up to the viewpoint and look over Bangkok. Stunning. Go and be a local for a day and get the public transport like rickshaws, or go and get the public boat or use the metro system. Honestly, it's the absolute dream to wander around and get around that city. And I'm buzzing to go back, I must admit. And tomorrow, if I could go there, I would. But fear not, I am there in December and I cannot wait to spend a long weekend there. It's too short, so I have to go back for longer next time. But hey, I'd always go back to Bangkok. Number two is any Himalayan villages in Nepal. I just love being in the Himalayan mountain range. I love the small walking trails, the small guest houses, the Dal Bhat, speaking with local people and waking up to sunrise or early morning to the most majestic views. I mean, I've hiked at the Annapurna, which was absolutely incredible, but tough for me. Poon Hill was insane. But on the way back from Poon Hill, we went a different route. And he's like, yeah, this is one we're not normally supposed to do, but let's go back this way. It'd be something different. Great. And this guest house we stayed at, I have no idea where it is, perched on the hill, and the views at the back were just absolutely insane. Had an amazing Dal bat, hung out with my friends who I was walking with, spoke to the locals. And this is the vibe across the whole of Nepal. Kathmandu has this as well, and Pokhara, which I've been to. But the villages are something special. Langtang Village and Kyenjin Gumpa are absolutely up there with some of my favourite places I've been to. I love hanging out there. The views of 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 metre mountains every day, that would never get boring. I'd never take it for granted. And every morning, imagine waking up to that. Granted, life can be hard there with the weather conditions, avalanches, and the history of it. But my word, what a place. And if you could transport me back tomorrow, I'd definitely go there in a heartbeat. One of my favourite places in the world, one of my favourite foods in the world, some of my favourite people in the world, and overall, just a stunning location for me. And it's one I'd always think about going to on a big trip in Asia. Number one is the Cook Islands in the South Pacific. If I could imagine what paradise was like when I was younger, the Cook Islands would be that. When we landed into Rarotonga, already the beaches were absolutely insane. Palm trees, hardly anyone there when we were visiting, small little huts on the beach. We picked a little beach, hung out in the water, warm, clear, turquoise water, and just marveled at the sight of this amazing island. Now we thought, oh, it can't get any better, surely not. Ah, let's go and check out another island. Yeah, we booked a ticket on a small plane to Adjutaki, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Adjutaki is a paradise lover's dream. That is unlike anything I've seen worldwide. And I've been to a few beaches in my time. Fiji, Vanuatu, the Caribbean, for example. Great Yarmouth in Norfolk. And my word, Adjutaki is absolutely stunning. Get a little bike out, bike around the island, and those little spits of sand into the water. I was like, what is this? I couldn't believe real life was matching my imagination. I don't think anywhere else has had that same impact in terms of me historically, because when I was younger, I was obsessed with paradise. Like, where can I find this place that I have seen on Tom and Jerry when they go to Hawaii and they got that Hawaiian music and the palm trees? And like, where is that? And I've been to Hawaii and it's not there. It's not bad, but it's not there. But Cook Islands? Oh. If you're wondering where that is, pop that in Google Maps. Have a little look. You can fly there from Auckland and they take New Zealand dollar, and it is 100% worth the trip. Now I'm intrigued. I'm like, oh, what's French Polynesia like? Is that going to be the same? All those little islands, is it all just as good? Or is Cook Islands really that special? But for me so far, as we speak today, the Cook Islands is number one for me. I think about it every day. And if the Cook Islands Tourism Board want to sponsor a podcast like this, let me know. I'll be happy to come along and just put up with it for a while. Yeah, number one, Cook Islands. I'll see you soon, hopefully. So that wraps up my 15 places that I would go to tomorrow in a heartbeat if you had to give me a plane ticket, a boat ticket, whatever it is, or money just to go anywhere. This is the list as we speak in 2025. I'm sure I'll add and change that every day. This took ages to commit to anyway, and I missed out a load of places that I could have added in. But let me know in the comments your favorite places that you have visited and you would go back to tomorrow in a heartbeat. I don't traditionally go back to countries. I like to visit new places, new cultures, new nature. But these hold something special with me. So this is my list and I'm sticking to it. And it's a pretty fun episode to do. I really enjoyed sharing my favorite travel places with you. Thanks for tuning in. Get traveling. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast episode today. If you've been inspired by today's chat and want to book some travel, if you head to the show notes, you'll see some affiliate links below, which help support this podcast. You'll find Skyscanner to book your flight. You'll find booking.com to book that accommodation. Want to stay in a super cool hostel? You'll see Hostelworld down there too. You'll find Revolut to get your travel card sorted. Click the GigSky link to get your eSIM ready for your trip. And more importantly, you'll find Safety Wing Insurance to get that travel insurance for your trip. There are many more to check out. So when you click that link and book your product, a small commission goes towards me and the Wingin' It Travel podcast. Thank you in advance and enjoy your travels. Heya, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights, without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.